and another fun cocktail. This is extra fun because it has a kooky name, like Walla Walla Washington, and what other Krusty the Clown city names? Tuscaloosa, I don't know.
Kalamazoo.
This is the Deaky Deaky cocktail, and joining me is our resident Black Liver Project historian and researcher, Jason Cruz, who's going to give us a little Deaky Deaky.
Deaky Deaky.
What is Deaky Deaky? What the fuck is that?
So the ingredients...
I don't know. I don't care about... What's a Deaky Deaky?
You want to know what a Deaky Deaky is? Well, according to Ted Haig, and I'll just say, he's wrong about this. What he says...
You know what a Deaky Deaky is?
Deaky Deaky, however, means healthy and wealthy and Sherpa. And that's just false. That is not true. That is not in any Sherpa dictionary I was able to find. They do have words for health and wealth, and neither of them are Deaky Deaky. So what is a Deaky Deaky? Well, let's talk about where this recipe actually came from. The recipe was created by Robert Vermeer, who wrote the book Cocktails, How to Mix Them, by Robert of the Embassy Club, in 1922. And what he says in the recipe, and he gives you the explanation.
1922
is where the drink came from.
Wait, is it European?
Yes, Robert of the Embassy Club, Robert Vermeer, was a Belgian bartender who moved to London. And
the Embassy Club is in London.
It is in London.
Okay.
He worked there only briefly, and by the time his book was being published, he had already moved back to Belgium to open up his own bar called Robert's. But the recipe for this drink, and I can't find it anywhere else.
That seems good.
Yeah, and the fact that it says in here, so they give the ingredients with this poncho, it has other names as well.
Caloric punch?
Caloric punch.
Does that mean, like, it makes you really fat?
I hope
so.
I'm not sure.
Caloric punch?
Caloric punch. I don't know.
Like C-A-L-O-R-I-C?
Exactly.
Huh, okay.
And then
what does that say about the Swedish?
They like their calories, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know if enough
they're not even like the chocolate people.
Right.
isn't that, that's like Austria, right?
It sounds like one of those things that's like, you know, just a name. What do they used to call, essentially what Alka-Seltzer is now? Acid, bromic acid or something like that.
Okay,
yeah. Anyway.
So what is Swedish punch?
So Swedish punch is...
I've never heard of it before.
I've been able to find it. So yeah, as you mentioned, Calvados is apple brandy, but it's a specific kind of apple brandy. It is made in the Calvados region of Normandy, and it's double distilled, and it's matured in oak for 6 to 10 years. So it's not just an run-of-the-mill apple brandy. Swedish punch is Eric-flavored cordial.
It's what?
Eric. A-R-R-A-C-K. And I'll explain what Eric is.
That's a Viking name.
Sounds like it. But it's actually not. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe they...
Eric the Punch.
Eric the Swedish Punch.
It's like...
I think of Hawaiian
It's
punch.
Like a beat down kind of thing. It's like the Swedish Punch.
It's actually a spirit distilled from the residue of cane sugar and rice. And it has...
Rice?
The explanation I found...
Rice in Sweden? What the hell is...
Here's the funny thing. Residue of cane sugar and rice and secret ingredients popular with Scandinavians. So what those secret ingredients... I couldn't find what the secret ingredients are. It could be anything. Cinnamon, whatever. Eric, actually, A-R-R-A-C-K, is a... The definition I found was a general name amongst the Indians. And by Indians, they mean... West Indians, they mean East Indians. It wasn't clear.
Oh, you don't even know?
It wasn't clear, but I think they meant West Indians. And this will explain why. For spirituous liquors of all kinds is a spirit procured by distillation from a vegetable juice called toddy, which flows by the incision of a coconut tree. Probably the West Indies rather than the East Indies. Sounds like coconut milk, sugarcane.
Rice. Juice.
Probably close to
it's like sake
horchata,
and Malibu rum.
Yeah, possibly. So
Malibu rum sake.
The Deaky Deaky. So it has caloric punch, Swedish punch, and then grapefruit juice. According to the
we already talked about grapefruit juice in the blinker, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really much explanation about.
Listen to the blinker episode.
Listen to the blinker. So what Robert Vermeer put in his recipe is an explanation of where the name of the drink came from.
Really?
Yes. He says, Diki Diki.
How fortunate.
I know. And that's like, almost
this is like the first time this has ever happened.
I was like, wait a minute. So Ted Haig had the option of just reading this book and saying, oh, actually, this is where the drink name came from because he says where he got the name. But he chose not to. So, whatever. Diki Diki is the chief monarch of the island Ubian, southern Philippines, who is now 37 years old, weighs 23 pounds, and his height is 32 inches. And then it gives the note. The author introduced this cocktail at the Embassy Club in London.
Wait, he's what? 23 pounds?
23 pounds, and I'll get into...
Okay.
Because at first I was like, wait, what? I said the same thing. I was like, but that doesn't... What?
Is it a pug dog?
I know. It's like 23 pounds. But it does say that the author introduced this cocktail at the Embassy Club in London in February 1922. So it attributes it to Robert Vermeer.
Okay.
So that's where the drink actually came from. So I looked up Diki Diki. Diki Diki actually was a king of the North Ubian Island in the Philippines. Huh. In the early 20th
century. A tiny one, apparently.
A very tiny one. He was 37 inches tall and weighed 25 pounds by time of his death at 49 years old. And he died in 1925. And he married a woman from a neighboring island who was 35 inches tall, weighed 20 pounds. And this was only 2 years before his death. So he wasn't married very long.
Well, it probably took a while to find someone that size. You know, it's
like... and actually, that's what they... In the articles that I found, it was like he was looking for a while, and they...
He was looking for a doll-sized...
He was looking for a bride, but he found one that was his own size, okay. Which was interesting that she was on the neighboring island.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that...
It's like made in Philippines.
Right. And from what I can tell is, and this it makes sense from what I was reading about Philippines history, is that...
Okay, I'm dying to know how Robert Vermeer knows that this, but keep going.
Right. Okay, I was trying to figure that out, too. Like, why was he even thinking about this? There wasn't actually a monarch anymore at this time in the Philippines. They were
no, because that was when the U.S. had already taken over. I mean, the Spanish had taken over, and then we came over and blew their navy out of the water.
Right.
Because they were still in wooden ships, and we had steel ones. And then we took it over, and it was our first instance of imperialism where we went in and thought we would save everybody and make everybody happy. And the natives were like, oh, great, thank you for getting rid of the Spanish. Oh, but you're going to stay?
Oh, go away.
Yeah. We actually don't need help.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then the Americans, they wanted the islands. It was a great place to be. It was a great place for a naval port. But in order to stay.
Strategically.
Exactly. And they kept, you know, trying to make friends, but the locals did not want anything to do with it. And it ended up where there were a lot of people dying in conflicts, in guerrilla warfare. And everybody's shocked at how this could even happen. And I believe Theodore Roosevelt was heavily involved in this. He was dealing with the rebellion and trying to make the best of it, but there was no way to do it without actually leaving.
That's kind of where we're at. I mean, 1925, we're already past World War I, pretty close to the beginning of World War II.
25?
25 is when he died. From what I could tell, from what I was reading, the monarch was sort of a name only. Kind of like England is now. They didn't hold any real power. It was a smaller island of the Philippines. So it was just a name. They even were calling him the Dwarf King. So he died in 1925.
He was probably the most powerful one of all because of that. The sense that, like, you don't forget that.
And what's interesting is you know, there were articles written about this guy. There were articles written when he died. In the U.S. So, he clearly was of enough stature to...
So to speak.
to be mentioned in American newspapers. So, you know, even if it was in name, it was probably similar to how the English monarchy is right now. Where they're talking about the monarchy is... look at what they're doing. He's marrying a small woman, too. It's very fascinating. And the name, that's where it comes from. That's where he says it came from. From what I can tell, I have no idea why he named it that drink. I came across one blog that mentioned that Robert Vermeer had a very strange sense of humor. Who knows? Maybe it was of the time. 1922 was around the time that he would have been getting married or looking for a bride.
Okay.
Actually, because I think he got married in 1923. So maybe it was news that came across his plate, and he said, oh, look at this. I'm going to make this
drink. And look at that name, Deaky Deaky.
Deaky Deaky.
Hilarious. Isn't that crazy?
Now, the name, Deaky Deaky does show up in other languages. I mean, he, you know, Ted Hanks says, oh, it's Sherpa for this. It's not Sherpa for anything. It doesn't show up in any Sherpa or Tibetan dictionaries or Nepal dictionaries. It doesn't mean anything that. It shows up in a Swahili dictionary from 1882 that means to pieces or very fine. And what they mean by that is the flour has been ground very fine. So
the flour has been ground Deaky Deaky.
Deaky Deaky.
The flour is Deaky Deaky.
Right. And actually in the Philippines, it does show up as meaning, it's hard to say, but it sort of is like the diminutive.
Isn't that strange? Yeah. So you've got an African language that means very small, and then you've got an Asian island language.
It also shows up in Zulu, which is a South African language, uh-huh. But that meant something different. It meant quiver, like a quiver you hold arrows in, uh-huh. But it also meant ripple. So when you say quiver and ripple, it's strange that you would see it, but there was also something preceding it. So it wasn't just Deaky Deaky, there was something that was attached to it. So it does. I mean, it's sort of like
when you hear the words Deaky Deaky, you can almost, you want to put your fingers up, making the tiny gesture. Tiny.
And that's kind of what they were referring to it in the Philippines. It was, they used another word too that when they were describing an island or something else, it was this, I think it was Ciba, and it was like, this Ciba meant it was a smaller. Okay. And Deaky also meant was like, it was this smaller.
Okay.
So when they say Deaky Deaky, it was a really small king, yeah. I guess. That's from what I can gather. So Ted Hanks wrong. There was evidence. It was created by Robert Vermeer. There's not too much known about him. He did go to London. Actually, he worked at a number of places in London that were like very well known. So he was a well-known person in London. There's somebody who actually dug really deep into this, into Robert Vermeer's life. So he was Belgian. He came to London. When his book was published, he had actually gone, and I mentioned this earlier, went back to Belgium to open up Robert's. And it became an attraction in Belgium. But then they mentioned the 1929 crash, which when I think of it is the U.S. stock market crash. Roberts had to close its doors in 1930. He didn't really do anything much after that. He was a bartender. But yeah, apparently he came up with this drink and he had a funny sense of humor. He just wanted to name it after the monarch of the Philippines.
Of the tiny Philippine
island. A tiny Philippine island. And, he wasn't actually the monarch of the Philippines.
No.
It was an island of the Philippines. We'll see how the drink tastes.
That we will.
The Deaky Deaky Cocktail, 1.5 ounces, Domaine DuPont Calvados, 1/2 ounce, Cronin Swedish Punch, 3/4 ounce, Grapefruit Juice.
And hello, everyone. I'm here at the Brixton in Andersonville, Chicago. We are doing the tasting of the Deaky Deaky now. You've heard Jason and I and myself talking about the history of the Deaky Deaky, and now we're going to drink the Deaky Deaky. I'm here with Kevin Rutajczyk of the tasting team and Rachel Rubin of the tasting team, and we are graced.
Special guest star
with Bethany Lang also joining us, tasting crazy things. And we have been given some glasses of the Swedish Punch and Calvados.
Punch smells amazing.
It smells like sweet fire.
Yes, it does. Sweet fire.
Okay, so I am kind of afraid of tasting it.
Really?
Yeah.
Based upon its smell?
Yeah, it smells like it's gonna burn.
It smells like only 26%, I think.
Only 26%.
Yeah, so it's, you know, half of a whiskey.
Have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't.
No, you're gonna make me do it first.
No, I'll do the Calvados first, or Calvados.
No, we have to do it one at a time.
Very good.
Oh, we have Deaky Deakies.
There is Deaky Deaky.
Have landed. It looks like a tiny king. I haven't tried them yet.
It does smell like it's going to burn.
Yeah.
I
sweet fire.
Obviously, Kevin, your tolerance for that sort of thing is higher than Cam and mine.
Yeah, I'm a wimp.
Would you care? Where's the Swedish Punch?
Yeah, it's the punch. There she goes.
She's going in.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a nameless sweetness?
Yeah. I mean, there's something else in there. Maybe fruity, maybe spice. I can't really tell. It's
sweet,
mostly,
though?
It's mostly sweet.
Huh.
Did you try this?
No, I did not. You were the first to take the plunge.
I mean, there's something else in there.
Right. There it goes. It's sweeter than I thought it would be.
Except you're holding your face. Like it's gonna come off. You're like, ah! Yeah.
No, it really is.
Indiana Jones Nazis.
It is not as burny as I thought it would be.
Really?
No, it's really not.
Is it smoky? I've heard it called smoky.
No, you know what? It's like it tastes like fruitcake.
Yeah.
That's
right?
Really?
Like fruit and spice.
That's
yeah.
That's not
kind
going.
Of kind of
it doesn't quite sell it,
there's nothing specific I can pick.
No. It is like namelessly kind of just sweet. Yeah, it doesn't taste very smoky to me at all.
I gotta try it.
Bottoms up.
It's got a little bit of burn, but it's really much. It's very mellow.
Yeah, compared to what you would think based on the
smell. It it burns in your nose, but it's totally chill on your tongue. It's very relaxed. It's very sweet and it's kind of syrupy. And it has a kind of, I wouldn't call it smoky, unless it was like, you know, you burned a car seat. It has kind of a, I don't want to say vinyl taste, but like, it's kind of it's like an aftertaste. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is definitely kind of syrupy.
That's like baby rum.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
Not as burny, more sweet.
Mm-hmm. I think I kind of love it.
So what do you think?
It's good. No, it's sweet, and it makes me think of like that kind of strong plum wine that you can.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this smells like overripe apples.
Yeah, that one's much higher alcohol.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
snap.
That's 80 proof.
This is the
Calvados. It's gonna get real
in here. But not like in a happy way.
Not like in a cinnamon way. In like a literally on fire way.
Yeah.
Like, Dallas was like rubbing alcohol and then set on fire. I'll try it.
Apples from hell.
Oh no.
Mikey doesn't like it.
Oh no.
Next up, batter up.
It's just like burning.
Really? There's like no.
See, that's funny because the smell of this.
It's actually doesn't have. It doesn't smell as dangerous.
It doesn't. You're absolutely right. Yeah. It does not smell as dangerous as that does.
It has a much, much less. This smells almost like a. Well, I guess like the
Swedish Punch.
Yeah.
The Swedish Punch sounds. It smells like a whiskey or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It smells like whiskey.
Yeah.
It smelled like it was gonna hurt, but it didn't.
Kinda, maybe it's just so high in alcohol, it's evaporating so fast, like it don't even.
I don't know about the science. All I know is that these are misleading drinks.
Yes. All right.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Another yeah, you're absolutely right. There is no apple taste to this whatsoever.
No.
It just tastes like pain. And it's really sad because it smells pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's like no sweetness in it.
Well, it's real high class pain.
I'm sure
it comes from Normandy.
It's very expensive pain.
So that makes
some
it
people
better.
Go for that.
I'm sure.
Usually there's sure safety words.
I can see this like flavors coming out when it's mixed with something else.
Trying so hard.
Oh man.
But then the tingling of my mouth took over.
This is our mouth. Kevin, I get the impression that you are
I did get the apple. I did get the
really?
Apple right before I got punched in the mouth.
Yeah. It's a little more nondescript than I thought. I mean, it doesn't have. You guys are. I don't really taste the apple.
I don't either.
Right at the front.
I can smell it, but then it was all a lie.
Man, it clears your sinuses, though, doesn't it?
We've been just going around with the
Calvados and
the Calvados and the punch.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried the Swedish punch?
Punch I've never had.
It's quite good. Yeah.
Well, it's certainly
It smells more dangerous than it tastes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, as soon as I put it my
it's
nose,
actually very
nose is,
sweet.
It almost smells medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a real sweet,
really light finish, almost no finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's not that strong. I'll look at that bottle real quick.
It's 26 maybe or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you keep it in the fridge and just chug it after a nice long run.
I am.
Oh, man.
I'm on board.
Yeah. Does it make you different? How's the cup? You mind if I taste the cup out of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cup out.
This is also
now that'll punch you.
I'm going to say underused, no nose, no nose, and then a heavy, that's just, that's going to clean something out.
Yeah.
That was Michael, he's the bartender we've been working with. Okay, so we have the drinks in front of us.
Patty King!
Good point.
Okay, so yeah, we can try this now.
The freaking Calvados, man!
Yeah.
No, this is mellow.
I don't know.
To me, it just kind of obliterates the other flavors.
I get more spice coming from the Swedish punch now than I did when I actually drank the Swedish punch.
Yeah,
itself.
Good. Yeah.
I get more spice now.
I really that plasticky smoke flavor.
So you can taste that.
That's
now
yeah.
I'm getting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like
what
it's like.
Oh, grapefruit!
I can't taste grapefruit at all.
No, I don't either.
No, not at all.
That's crazy.
No. And usually, I mean, grapefruit's a pretty strong flavor.
Yeah, I don't get it at all.
I mean, maybe a little.
It's almost like all you get from, and it's not even that much. All you get from the Calvados is the fire.
Yeah. It's
I don't get apple. The flavor of the Swedish punch is really kind of taking it over.
Yeah.
Where's the grapefruit?
Are we sure that there's grapefruit in here?
Yeah, actually, I think I can see it. Yeah,
right, I can see this. I can see it, but I don't taste it. It's a magical disappearing act.
Huh. The Calvados probably burnt it.
It burnt it off.
The grapefruit was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
The heck with this.
Wait a minute. It's got a little bit of an aftertaste.
Uh-huh.
I would not order this again. And I wouldn't even take another one if it was offered to me, like, as a gesture.
Oh, wow. That's pretty strong words.
So if it was a deaky deaky night, you would be like, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Now after trying it, I would not have another. I mean, I will finish this one. And that's fine. But I do not feel the need to have another one ever.
Wow.
But I'll finish this one.
That,
I won't. This isn't a drink that I will spit out in someone's face because it's so disgusting. I'll finish it.
Not like a coffee cocktail.
Not like a coffee.
Don't even get her started. I feel pretty indifferent. If someone handed it to me, I'd drink it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't order it for myself.
No.
But I don't think I have as strong feelings about it as Rachel does. You know, it's fine. It's just kind of a bummer to me because the grapefruit juice and the Swedish punch I was really excited about, and the Calvados just kind of overtakes it a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, we've just tried so many other, like, classic cocktails. I just kind of think in my mind, like, of all the other stuff that we've tried, like, this is, like, really towards the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's strange because it's got the most, like, exciting.
Exotic, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's unfortunate. I wanted to like it more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Kevin?
Not a fan.
No? Not a fan?
No. It's almost like the sum of it's worse than its parts.
Yeah. You know what? That's a really good way of putting it. That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, because, the ingredients are really cool.
I'd even have Calvados on the rocks.
Over this?
Or this.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer. It's just disappointing.
But I don't think I'm as offended by it.
Yeah, I'd drink it.
I think I'm more with Bethany. Like, yeah, I'll put it in here.
Mm-hmm. Down the gullet.
Yeah.
I'm not offended by it. I just, like, when I think of all the drinks.
I think you're a click to the negative.
I am a click to the negative. I think
we're doing.
We're pretty neutral.
Okay with it.
Yeah.
We're like, eh.
Yeah. I'm a click past neutral.
Yeah.
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 I. It's fine. I'll drink it.
Well, especially in comparison to the other ones you've tried, like you said.
Exactly. Like if you wanted to purchase.
That's just not fair. Nothing can match the Crimean cup.
No. Yeah.
That's not
fair. Well, the apple, the cider one was good too. Cider and the rum one.
Oh, yeah, that one was good.
The Cologne. Yeah, back to the basics.
Yeah.
Who needs this crazy Normandy apple fire water?
We need a big curd. I just think, like, as we go through this book, I just think, like, you know, if you purchase this same classic cocktail book and you were going through and you were like, oh, what should I have when my guests come over tonight as an aperitif or something like that, I would not pick this.
No.
And especially disappointing is the fact that it has a great name.
Yeah.
And a really cool story.
You serve it with pea soup.
That's a really interesting combination.
Yeah, I don't know how.
How does that?
I don't know.
Do they make pea soup different than we make pea soup?
Because I don't think it goes in the pea soup.
How did they say
you drink it with it?
Yeah, but
how did they spell pea?
Yeah.
Generic fruity spiciness that I don't understand.
How about, so none of you would say this is refreshing?
No, which is weird because it's grapefruit.
No.
I feel like the flavors are so complex that I can't relax.
It's not refreshing.
No.
It's daunting.
There's, No, it's not refreshing.
Okay.
What's funny is Cam and I are almost done with ours. And it's potent.
Enjoy, guys.
Yeah?
I mean,
you're feeling it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, given the ingredients. You get that
so,
when you need that.
Okay. Well, we'll wrap this up then. We've beaten the Deaky Deaky long enough.
Yeah. Poor Deaky Deaky.
Had so much promise. It was a letdown.
Such a disappointment.
My Deaky Deaky is black and blue. And the simple fact is the reason why we come here to the Brixton is because Michael knows what the fuck he's doing. And I'm not going to be able to make a good Deaky Deaky or Crimean Cup a la Memora in my house. It's just not going to happen. I remember initially when I was thinking about it, you know, people were saying, well, you could do it at home. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't know how to properly strain things. I don't even know the first thing about it. So that's why we come here for the professional touch. And then, you know, we move on. You know, we can focus on tasting it, enjoying it, and having a good time and talking about it. You know, and then I spoke to Michael about it, and he's enjoyed the project as well because he's seeing things he's never seen before.
Cool.
The book we're looking at is Forgotten Cocktails. So they're not on the regular menu in most places. So it's kind of, he's given an opportunity to play as well. You know, it's like there are things that are happening here that he hasn't seen before, and it's kind of a new experience for him, even if he's not sitting here drinking with us. So
And I guess with that, we will depart. We'll say, follow us on Twitter. Occasionally, I tweet something. And it's usually just entirely self-serving. But that's okay, because it's Twitter. If you go to Facebook, to our Facebook page, occasionally I'll post cool, historic-type alcohol articles. And otherwise, I post the latest shows there with the artwork, which is very cool as well. If you're a Pinterest-type person, you can go to our Pinterest board and see all that artwork all right in front of your face. Other than that, if you really, really like the project, if you think that this is something that you're... I mean, you could go to blackliverproject.com. You could join, and you can actually, like, communicate, and you can, like... If you wanted to, it's set up so that you could have your own project going, and actually... I would totally dovetail with anything that anybody else did, because if you're doing something cool, I'm in it. So, I guess with that, if you're thinking and drinking, come Black and You Liver with us, because it's fun. Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the Monster in a Glass podcast. I'd like to thank Jason Cruz for researching our content, our regular tasting team, Rachel Rubin, Kevin Ratajczyk, Bethany Lang, and Nicole Pizzini for joining me in the grueling task of tasting the cocktails we discuss. The Brixton and their bartender, Michael Donnelly, for letting us cavort in their liquid playground, Dan Cruz for art direction and editing, and Mark Piani for the music at the head of the show. Go to blackliverproject.com to see the show archive, become a member, contribute to the project, and get in touch with us. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get the latest news and, as it happens, updates during live events. And as always, if you're into thinking and drinking, let us blacken your liver.